Scripture reads, John 4:24, God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. As well as Ephesians 5:18-19. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord.
It's always good to be here. It's always good to come to worship God in spirit and in truth. With that being said, it's interesting that we always say that, and rightfully so, we should, because that's what Jesus told that Samaritan woman, that there will be a time that you will neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But it's interesting that the Bible teaches us that God is seeking true worshipers. I do want to say this from the onset. As we have been talking about some of the sayings of Jesus, and we can't go wrong by talking about those things that Jesus has said. I truly believe that if we continue to study the things that our Lord and Master said, we will think like Him. This morning, I want us to concentrate on one thing, and that is the inner man. The inner man. It's difficult. I've said it from this pulpit before, I'll say it again. One of the most difficult things to do is to worship God properly. The reason why is because our minds are on other things at times. Sometimes our minds are on the things of the world. Sometimes we have convinced ourselves that I must do other things because that's my way of concentration. I beg you, open up your Bibles. Pick up your Bible. Whether it's electronic or paper, it doesn't matter. Let's allow our inner man to truly, truly worship God today. And the reason why I say that, friends, is because I believe that the Lord's church in many locations have allowed themselves to become lazy in their worship to God. I say that because I myself sometimes become lazy in my worship to God. The inner man, the one that counts, the one that truly transforms not only the spirit of man, but also the body of man. We have Bible to prove that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, as it relates to our bodies, our souls, and our spirits being preserved blameless on that day. Friends, we are worshiping God this morning with the inner man, but we have to use our bodies in order to do that. So I want us to take that into consideration this morning as we study these things. We have our Bibles. We have our minds engaged. God is seeking true worshipers. The word there, seek, literally means that God is looking for true worshipers. Not false worshipers, not vain worshipers. God is looking for those who are actually trying to make contact with Him. Which means, this is not a time to be having conversation. This is not a time for our minds to be somewhere else. This is not a time for us to be engaged in any other thought process. The reason why is because our minds should be based upon who God is, what His Word is saying, and how I can be better when I leave this locale. I've been thinking about this for the last few days, and it's been plaguing my mind. Mike, you must do better in worship. And the reason why, friends, is because on the first day of the week, Acts 20:7, we understand that Paul was ready to depart and he met up with the brethren, waiting for the brethren so he can partake of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. And the reason why is because this was the pinnacle of the week. It's the pinnacle. And the reason why it's the pinnacle, because God made it the pinnacle of your week. No other time of your week is better than today. Because today is what lays the foundation for the rest of your week. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, we went over that passage. This is one of the sayings of Jesus Christ as he is talking to this woman on the well, or at the well. And notice what he says to her that was beautifully read by our brother Pope Joy. Notice what he says. God is spirit. Friends, that's important. God is invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus came to declare this invisible God. John 1, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. We can't see God. The only thing that we have is the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, that demonstrates who he is and how he thinks. So how does this help us? Notice, and they that worship him, literally bows the knee down to him, thus kissing up to him like a dog does his master. Nate has two dogs, and it's amazing how he can go just like this, and they'll know exactly what to do. You know what? We ought to be just like that with God. That God just speaks it and we go to running. He left us that illustration for a reason. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's the inner man. That's the right attitude. And in truth, that's the right standard. Two passages I want us to take notice of. In the Old Testament, Joshua 24, verse 14. You remember here, Joshua is now calling the people of God to a decision. You make a decision what you're going to do. Are you going to serve the gods of your father that was on the other side of the flood, or are you going to worship the God of heaven? Which one are you going to do? It's interesting that he tells them that they should serve God in sincerity and in truth. Is that in your Bible? It should be. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. We find the same language being employed upon us. Here, as Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, talking to them, not talking to us, but we glean so much from it. As he is talking to them, they had a sad situation there that a man had his father's wife. It was an immoral situation going on here. Paul said, that should not be the case. If anything, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7, Jesus Christ is our Passover. Well, when you take that back to Exodus chapter 12, we understand that there should be no leaven, meaning no sin, nothing that defiles the people. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, which means that when God sees Jesus, he passes over. But they put themselves in a position where they had sin amidst them. But in verse number 8, notice what your Bible there says. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Friends, did you see that? What does this have to do with us worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Friends, I need us to take into consideration what's in the inner man. Oh, we can put on suits, and we can put on nice dresses, and we can put on makeup, and we can have our hair combed or not combed. It doesn't matter. What does matter is what's going on the inside, for whatever's going on the inside usually is portrayed on the outside. So God wants the inner man to be without malice and without wickedness. Notice the rest of the passage. But with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. Three passages that we've noticed. John 4, 23 and 24. Joshua 24, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8, and all three of them deal with the children of God, the child of God, and their relationship with their inner man being sincere and the right standard. What does this have to do with worship? It has everything to do with worship. Notice Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. How do we worship God? When we consider our worship toward God, friends, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, Paul understood this when he was talking to the brethren at Philippi. Why did he understand this? Because he was a man that understood what it meant to be in direct relationship to his Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. We must understand that. We must be reminded of that, and the pulpit must preach it and teach it. If not, it's nothing but legalities. If not, it's just formality. If not, it's just tradition. I come in, I take a sip, I take a chip, I leave a $5 tip, and I tip on out of here. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be actively engaged, just like when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, if you will. Brother Pope Joy, they would have the anointing upon them. They could not leave with the anointing. You know what that tells us today? From the opening prayer to the benediction, this is God's time. Now, that's good teaching right there. Your conversations that you want to have, the things that you want to think outside of the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Church or the worship of God, I'm sorry, doesn't mean nothing right now. Your focus is God and how you can get better and how we can get better. Notice in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, notice what Paul says. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God. Now notice, the word worship there is the same word in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Friends, here Paul understood that he was to worship God, latreo God. Jesus would use the same word when he is talking to the evil one in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, that God is the one to be worshiped. He is the one to be served. He is talking about spiritual sacrifices. Now notice what he says here. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God. That's spiritual sacrifices, friends. Notice where? In the spirit. Literally, the inner man. The inner man. Question. Before we go any further, what's going on in your mind right now? Is your worship today, from the time that the opening prayer was offered to right now, has it been centered on God? Now, friends, Philippians 2:12, you have to work out your own salvation. I have to work out mine. But I've been thinking about this more and more. And the more I think about it, I'm saying, hold on. God, you're not playing. No, I'm not. I want to know who's really worshiping me. I want you to know. And friends, 1 John 3:20 and 21, we can test our hearts. We can know our hearts. We don't want our hearts to condemn us. God is greater than our hearts. So I want us to think about this before we go any further into our text. Look at Ephesians 5. All of that is foundational because it's important when we consider some of these things as it relates to the inner man. In Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, a very familiar passage, and Jesus, remember what he said there in John chapter 4, 23 and 24, God is seeking true worshipers. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, here we have a worship atmosphere. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be ye filled with the Spirit. Literally, filled to the full. With what? The Spirit. What Spirit? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit of God? Is he talking about man's spirit? Let me go ahead and say this, friends. If our minds are on anything else, if our minds are filled with drinking and alcohol, it's no way for us to be filled with the Spirit, filled to the full with the Spirit, Romans 8, verse number 1 and 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the teachings of God in my heart. Question, what's in your heart? How much time are you spending with the law of the Spirit? The time that we spend with the law of the Spirit is going to determine if we're walking by the Spirit. The time we spend with the law of the Spirit is going to determine if the fruit of the Spirit is going to be produced in my life. It's interesting. Now think about this concept, friends. Dennis, think about this. Notice this point here. I think it's a powerful point. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Hold on. That means that when I come before God, an invisible God, and God has all of these attributes that we find in the Word of God, ought to be bringing these attitudes to the worship setting. And as I am singing to God, then all of these things are abounding within me. They are developing. They are maturing, which means that the joy and the love and the peace and the long-suffering, all of those things are coming with me when I come to God. Now, y'all ain't heard that before, but that's good teaching right there. I see why many Christians, they come to worship and leave the same way that they came in, because they didn't have it when they came in. God is encapsulated with love and joy and peace. Why? All of those things, Braswell, are the result. They are the fruit of, and the seed is the word of God. Therefore, when I come to God in worship, I don't have room for anything that's going to be defiling me. Question. What are we doing during the week that's causing us not to be focused upon God today? I'm going to put my notes up. I'm just going to preach to y'all. Turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let me show you something. Keep in mind that when we come on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, we're coming on the first day of the week, Caleb Pope Joy, to break bread, which is vitally important. And truly, friends, it is the focal point of our worship. As they come to honor the Father and to remember the Son, there is an examination that must take place. Who am I? Paul tells the Corinthian brethren to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. Test yourselves. The hardest person to examine is, and the hardest person to test is me. Well, hold on. We see that in that verse in 2 Corinthians 13:5, but in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 30, we see the same thing. Hold on. God wants us to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves, and anyone who examines themselves in worship and finds themselves not to be in accordance with the will of God, and if they partake of the Lord's Supper, they do this in damnation to their own soul. That's the Bible. This is how important worship is. That God is, in essence, hold on, friends. He is teaching us to judge ourselves, that when we come to worship, we learn to discipline ourselves by looking within. And that's why it's important for the man of God to preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And in our Lord's Supper, or in the partaking of the Lord's Supper, consider this. We're judging ourselves. We're examining ourselves. We're looking at every aspect of our hearts, of our minds, of our spirit, to make sure that we are in accordance with the will of God. And when we do this, then if we find ourselves to be worthily, I didn't say worthy, the scriptures didn't say worthy. It says worthily, which means that my life is in a blameless state. Y'all come back tonight and we're going to talk about a calm soul is a blameless soul. We're in a blameless state. Therefore, I can commune with God, which means I have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I have fellowship with the Father. And these things take place on the first day of the week. Notice the blessing that God has given us, that He gives us a position with Him that we can examine our lives, whether we be in the faith. And when we examine ourselves and we find ourselves to be faithful to Him, that means that if I was to die in a faithful state, you know where I'm going to end up? With a faithful God. Which means that every time you come to worship, every time I come to worship, it's an opportunity for me to judge myself, that when I stand before God to give an answer, I've already been judged. What a great God that we serve. That He allows us to come together to sing praises. We'll talk about that here in a minute. To partake of the Lord's Supper, looking in ourselves. To hear the preach the word. Examine the word. Check behind the preacher, Acts 17, verse number 11. And in doing those things, I get to find out who I am. But then here's another one. In worship, we sing. This is where the Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 comes in. Because in our singing, I understand that I am walking according to the Spirit's teaching. I'm walking according to the law of Christ. And when I'm walking according to the law of Christ, consider this. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Where? Where, friends? In your heart. In your heart. The inner man. It is possible for you to sing a song and not believe a word that you're singing. It's possible to sing a song and not be engaged in the song. It's possible to be singing a song and be thinking about something totally different. What is God teaching us? That when I'm not focused on those things that are carnal, then I need to be focused on those things that are spiritual. And notice even in the text, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, spiritual songs, the word spiritual there is non-carnal. Which means that it matters what we sing. But then notice 1 Corinthians 14 and look at verse number 15. Notice your Bible there. Paul says something which is directly in line with Philippians 3 verse 3. He says, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Hold on. You know what he's saying? I will sing with the inner man. Friends, if you don't get nothing else, you need to get this point. What Jesus was telling that woman at the well was 100% right. Not because he was God, but because she knew that this mountain had some type of sacred atmosphere about it, at least in her mind. She knew that this physical area was sacred. She knew that Jerusalem was what the Jews said you needed to go. Physical. I think I get it now, Pope Joy. It takes a long time to get this, mate. It takes a long time to get this. And I see for a fact that the Bible, it clears up everything for us as it relates to something physical or something spiritual. You know what every last one of us struggle with? Is spirituality. We look at things physically. This is why Matthew 6:33 through the end of the chapter is tough for us, because how am I going to make it? Well, if I look at it spiritually, I know that God is going to take care of me. If I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching, then I know that God is going to take care of me. If I'm walking according to the law of Christ, that means that I am going to work and do what I need to do, because that's what the law of Christ teaches. Here it is. They was looking at this physically, at least the woman was. This place, Jerusalem, that's physical. Jesus said, no, you missed it. God is spirit. He is invisible. No longer is this going to be a physical locale that people have to come to three times a year in order to offer up sacrifices unto God. It doesn't matter where you are. You can worship God in spirit and with the right attitude, the right standard. Question. Are you spiritual? The Lord's Supper. Is that physical, spiritual, or both? If I don't see the suffering of my Lord, if I don't understand that that's the blood and the body of Christ, and I am partaking of that, and it's putting me in a position to be in communion with the Father. To some, it's just juice and crackers. To those who understand Doc Hall, it has spiritual significance. My singing, I'm singing with the inner man. And when I sing with the inner man, it's going to come out of my lips. The fruit of my lips praises unto God, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hold on. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we have giving there. Oh, you have your smart aleck brethren. This is what they say, Brother Dennis. Well, that was just for a special occasion. Okay. On the first day of every week. I guess they had a special occasion on every first day of the week. I have a better passage for you. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Let's go there. Friends, did you give this morning? If you have a job, you should have given. Amen. You know why? Because it is a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. If you don't have a job, God doesn't require you to give. But if you have a job, it says a lot about the inner man. God wants the inner man because in this, he understands and we should understand that we are giving of ourselves. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 16, notice, this is a powerful passage. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such what? Sacrifices. Hold on. 1 Peter 2:5, sacrifices. When we sing, it is a sacrifice. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is a sacrifice. All of worship is sacrifice. We are sacrificing unto God. Notice what he says. God is well pleased. If you didn't give, why not? What's going on in your heart that you could not properly plan to bring an offering to the Lord? Friends, this is no guilt trip. This is heaven and hell. This is heaven and hell. And the reason why this is heaven and hell, because me not giving is just as important as me not partaking of the Lord's Supper. Me not partaking of the Lord's Supper is just as important as me not singing. If I'm not singing, it's just as important as me not listening to the preached word. Me not listening to the preached word is just as important as me not praying when the prayers are being offered. These five actions of worship are designed, listen to this, friends, to take us back to exactly what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. Let's go there. I know we haven't made this connection. We're about to make it. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him do what? Deny himself daily. Take up his cross and follow me. Let's make the connection now. In worship, God is teaching me selflessness. It's interesting, friends, that the selfless God gave everything in his son, thus teaching us to be selfless. And then Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, the first thing he must do is empty himself. So what does worship teach me? If the word is being preached, if the elements are being given, if the singing is being sung, if the prayers are being offered, friends, all five of those acts are teaching me to discipline myself, to learn selflessness, which removes selfishness, and it takes me back to Luke 9:23, denial of self. Wow. What is the toughest thing for us to do as human beings? I'm not just talking about Christians. I'm talking about human beings. Putting our will and setting it aside for the will and betterment of someone else. And that's exactly what worship does. Wow. That excites me. You know why? Because that means I always got something I need to work on. There's some selfishness I always need to get out of me. And all five actions of worship teach me that I need to rid self. And I need to elevate Jesus. I need to rid self. I need to build up my brethren. I need to rid self. And I need to honor the Father. All five actions of worship. I see why people play with God's worship, because it requires too much of them. Bible don't say I should have to give. You're looking at a selfish person right there. Bible don't say I have to take the Lord's Supper every first day. That's selfishness. Who says I have to sing? That's selfishness. Who says I have to? Who says? God said it. one of the hardest things to do is to give God exactly what he wants. And that's why denominationalism is rampant. You know, we can look at denominationalism and we can say, man, they're doing this and this and they're gathering people. No. This is what they're doing. They are promoters of selfishness. And when you promote selfishness, meaning that you tickle ears, you give people what they want, they're going to run to it. But when you tell them the standard of God, people are going to run from it. Those who want the standard of God run to it. Those who don't run from it. I got Bible for that. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, meaning don't want to do that, will run away from it. They condemn themselves. So what does this have to do with worship? What does it have to do with John 4:23-24? God is seeking true worshipers. Is it possible for me to come to worship and not worship? Yes. Just like it's possible for you to go to work and not work. Anybody in here run a business? I know a few of y'all. Y'all know some people that come to work and don't work. Do y'all ever come across people like that? The answer is yes. And here it is. Is it possible for you to do that in worship? Yes. Which teaches us, as I close, that when I come to worship on Saturday night, I need to get my mind together. Saturday night. I can't be out there Jew-junking. Can't be out there doing all those things. I need to be having my mind set. I'm about to go worship the God of heaven in the morning. I want to make sure my clothes are ready. I want to make sure my mind is ready. I got my check written out. I'm ready to go praise my God. So when I step into the building, I'm already ready to worship. The only thing I'm waiting for is the opening prayer. Get past those announcements so we can get to business. I come to worship God. And now that worship has begun. Hey, what you doing after? Man, I'm in worship. Don't talk to me right now. That ought to be the attitude. I'll say this. Sometimes we give man more respect than we give God. Question. If you was on a job interview, would you do some of the stuff you do in worship in that job interview? No. God is greater than man. He deserves our best. I leave you with one passage. If those didn't do you well, this one ought to. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Notice this passage. When you obeyed the gospel, you really didn't know how to worship God completely. As time begins to progress and you begin to become familiar with worship, you get better. It's interesting. That's a biblical concept. Which means that my singing ought to become richer. My prayers over a period of time ought to become richer. My communion with the Lord ought to have more meaning. My offering to God ought to be richer and it ought to abound. The preaching of the word, I can't wait to hear it. 2 Corinthians 8:7, the context is giving. But notice what Paul puts in there. Therefore, as ye abound in what? Everything. Hold on. We love to get raises. We love promotions. We love better cars and better houses. We love to move up in this world. Hold on. God says, I want you to abound in everything as a Christian. You should not be the same song leader you were 5 years ago. You ought to get better at it. You ought to be a better preacher today than you was 5 years ago. A better elder, a better deacon, a better husband, a better father, a better child of God. You ought to be better. You ought to be better. Notice the text. I'm not lying. It's right here. As ye abound in everything, in what, Paul? In faith, meaning your trust in God. In utterance, meaning your speech. And knowledge, what you know. And in all diligence, your ability to hurry up and get to the matter. of spirituality. But notice the next one. And in your love to us, see that you abound in what, Paul? In this grace also. What grace, Paul? Verses 1 through 6. In your giving. Your giving should not be the same. Your giving ought to abound because your love for God abounds. Because your love for the work of God abounds. Because you want more lost souls to be reached. You want the brethren to be encouraged. Maybe a brother or sister is going through some financial issues. You want to be able to know that you contributed to it. And the first century church, they were so thankful to be involved in benevolence. How about us? How about our worship? I understand, I think. It's about the inner man. Coming in contact with God, with the collective group, on the first day of the week. Brother Estes, that's Bible. That's Bible. God wants us to grow closer and closer to Him every single day. Friends, if you're not growing closer to God, I beg you, begin today. If you're not a child of God, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, your connection with Christ because of sin is not there. Ephesians 2 and verse number 2. So the same one that you need to be looking to in order to get right with God is the same one that's going to cleanse you with His blood. He's the same one that brought the gospel. Jesus told His disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Good news. What news? The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the very appearance of Christ. The church of Christ, Mark 1 verse 14. And in obeying that, God will add you to the church. What church? The church of Christ. And then what do you have to do? Be faithful to God. What does it mean to be faithful? That you are full of faith and you are abounding in everything. Friends, are you a child of God? Have you been baptized into Christ? If not, we want to study with you. And the Lord's church here, we need to get more involved in personal work. We need to take the gospel out to everybody. There should not be one person that we come in contact with that we don't display the love of Christ to. And talk to people about the Lord. If you have been knowing people for a long period of time, you ought to have enough in you to talk to them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This time next year, this congregation ought to be double. Because every last one of us ought to make up our minds that we're going to talk to one person about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the elder's responsibility. It's not just mine. All of us. If you bring them, the elders and I will study with them. We got preachers here that'll study with them. You just bring them. Brother Bonner, I don't know how. You bring them. We'll study with them. We'll baptize them into Christ and help them to stay faithful. So they can worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, meaning turn away from sin. Turn to Christ. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to His Son's church, the church of Christ. Or maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been worshiping God. You come to worship and you really don't pay attention. You're doing all manners of things in worship. Don't do that. I'm begging you, don't do that. I'm pleading with you, don't do that. When you come to worship, this is His hour. And I'm going to try to take up all that hour. It's His hour. Give Him His hour. He deserves it. But He also deserves your life. Because He gave His Son to give you life. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.